It is 11:15, and Mabel Louise is here.
Hey,
hello.
Hey, good morning. Good, and I guess I'll have to follow your instructions.
Oh,
say,
yeah.
Burr. Yes. I really did get out my box full of scarves and gloves and what have you this morning because I had to get out my heavy coat, too. It's cold out there. Isn't it? It's strange to be so cold so early, but with the Lord's in control, and we'll just take whatever comes, right? Well, the election is over. No more election ads on the radio or the TV or in the newspaper or being bothered by those telephone calls. Yes, I don't know about you, but I had so many. And by the way, if you voted, you can feel confident that you did your part. But if you fail to vote, then, okay, you have to accept what the majority and what their vote determined. So, shall I say this? No complaints allowed. That's right. Can you imagine how awful it would be not to be allowed to take part in voting and making your own decision after reviewing the principles and the plans of each person running for office? Oh, aren't we blessed to be able to live in America? So few countries have this God-given privilege. Perhaps the election didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, but nevertheless, we need to maintain a godly attitude and a perspective, knowing in our hearts that in the end, God is in control. And of course, we need that godly attitude toward life and the democracy. And we're obligated after that to take part in the decisions of our local, state, and national government, and by the way, to pray for those who were elected that they'll be able to adjust to their new responsibilities. The Bible says, pray for those who have authority over you. Romans 13:1. Well, today I want to return to my series on parents guiding their children for the Lord. And so today I'm speaking on 10 ways to provoke your children to anger. And the scripture text is taken from Ephesians 6:4 and Colossians 3:20. And let me read those verses to you. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, is Ephesians 6:4. And it continues on by saying, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then Colossians 3:20 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I like the new international version, the way it's written. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Well, I'm just going to go quickly over because I covered part of them on a broadcast before I talked about getting out and voting. I just felt so constrained to encourage people to get out and vote. And so I promised to come back to this particular series. And so I'll start out with number one and just read what I had written down, just the quick notes. And then when I get to the last four, which I didn't cover, then I can spend a little more time, depending on that clock. Well, the first one was children can be overly protected. Children today have many have a difficult time making choices. And of course, that stems from overly protecting them and having the parents make all the choices for them. Let's use, for instance, if your boy or your daughter wants to play sports. Okay, so you allow them to make a choice, and you go out and you buy all of your equipment that's needed, and the little girl or the boy decides to change his mind and play something else. Well, it's better that you follow through and make them stick to it because they had already made their decision. And you need to allow them in every instance that you can make their own decisions so that they can be wiser when they're out of the nest. Let me give you just a quick illustration. You're in the kitchen and you're making cookies. The beater is going in the mixer, and your child, your son, comes in and he says to you, "Mom, I've been invited to Johnny Barton's party. Should I go?" And the mother would quickly say, "Yeah, you can go." Well, and he kind of hesitates and wonders about it. Here's a better way to keep the conversation going. You turn off that mixer and you begin to respond to your child. See, so many times you answer the question and you don't take time to discuss what the child is thinking. So a good way to do that would be, "Why are you hesitating?" Instead of saying, "Well, I think you can go," be sure to listen to his answer. "Well, Mom, Johnny drinks alcohol." And you can ask, "Would you be comfortable there since you do not drink and we don't believe in drinking?" And the child's response, "No, I don't want to go, Mom. I think it's best I don't." The child made his own decision. You didn't. Then the next one is showing favoritism. Well, you know a good example of that in the Bible is Jacob favored Joseph. Remember, he made that beautiful striped coat in all colors. And the brothers were so irritated over it because of the favoritism of their father. And, of course, it's so easy, too, for parents to compare their children toward one another by saying, "Well, why don't you get good grades like your brother? Or why don't you act like your sister? She never gives me any trouble." Remember, children never, ever forgive the fact that you gave harsh criticism. Then the next one is pushing too hard for achievement. I've watched parents on the sidelines of sports pushing their child, fighting with the coach, always trying to push and promote your child. And I'm sure that if your child is as the general feeling would be, "I hate it, and I don't want my mom and dad to stand up and fight. They're embarrassed." And then you can provoke by discouragement. This promotes low self-esteem, and the child is prone to give up and not try for anything but just sit around, play video games, or stay on the computer all day. Nope, you don't want to do that by discouraging them. And then children can become provoked by being home alone. Do you realize that? Latchkey children sometimes feel unwanted. So take time to explain to your children why you have had to work. My, there's so many single women out there who are working because they have to. And so they can't always be with the child. But if you explain to them your budget and why you have to work and how he can have the responsibility of helping to run the home. You can encourage them to do their homework right away when they get home and they're alone and they can work on it. And then if they finish their homework, then you can spend time together with them when you get home from work. And always praise and thank them for being responsible. And reward them in any way that you can by going on a picnic in the summertime or going fishing or doing something special together. And then number six that I want to bring to you is you can provoke by failure to allow your child to be a child. Isn't that something how the ads in the newspapers and on the radios and on the TV, all of them pushing children to grow up so fast. And magazines and media advertise beautiful clothes and so many things that encourage young children to grow up too fast. And then neglection is a big problem. If you neglect your children when they're young, there will be lots of problems when they become teenagers. And that's an ouch. If you fail to instruct, nurture, and discipline when they're very young, I mean real young, it is for sure you will have greater problems later on. Proverbs 29:15 and 17 say, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And then verse 17, "Correct your son and he shall give you rest. Yes, he shall give delight to thy soul." Many a parent learns this lesson way too late, sitting up all night waiting for their teen to come home in the car. And then you say, if only, looking back. And then number eight, withdrawing love is another way to provoke your child. Never ever say, "I'm not going to love you anymore because you are so naughty. I won't love you if you do that." Never, ever use scare tactics. And then using cruel words and punishment will also provoke your child. Never forget. They never, never forget a critical statement. Like, "You will never amount to anything. You'll always be a loser." Ouch. Children really are like sponges. They soak up attitudes they have and ideas with which they see and which they hear in the home. So it's so urgent that parents and grandparents be careful about what is allowed to fill those little minds. So the big question that I leave with you today is, what are your children absorbing in your home? As you listen to their conversation, what kind of words and attitudes are being taken in their hearts? Are you setting a good example of love for the Lord and concern for others? Is there a spiritual emphasis and spiritual example in the home? Make sure that your little sponges soak up what is right before the Lord, and they will turn out to be a wonderful blessing when they're grown up. The value those children absorb, and just make sure, remember this, the heritage of the Lord is your precious children. And last but not least, take time to listen. What is he or she saying to you? Are you too busy to listen? Let me close with this illustration. There was a boy named Charlie whose mother told him to get ready for a friend's birthday party. Charlie appeared to resist her by saying, "But, Mom, His mother interrupted impatiently. I don't want any argument. You go and get washed up now and get dressed. Charlie protested again. But, Mom, just do it, she said again. Whether you want to or whether you don't. Well, after more protest, Charlie finally was shoved out the door with a birthday present in his hands. When he proceeded to bang loudly on his own front door, his mother angrily opened it to hear these words. But, Mom, the party is tomorrow. Yes, she didn't listen. And when you don't listen to your children, they become frustrated and discouraged. So listening is a way to show that you care and you love them. The value that your children learn when they're young are sure to flow out later in their lives. It's been so good to be with you. Bye-bye.